Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. Last week, my guest was none other than Dr. John Swanson, the Executive Director of Endurance Ministries, and we titled our time together, Living as End Time Saints in the Council of the Heart of Our Dear Savior. And I love that title as it gives hope to those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ and a challenge at the same time to be living end time saints. Now, just what does that mean? Well, it means looking to the full counsel of God for our direction and hope, His Word, given to us as a gift that we might be these living end-time saints. John and I last week, you know, briefly reviewed conversations that we've had here over the air over this past year about enduring to the end, watching for false prophets, relying on the Word of God versus man. And we closed last week's program promising that we were going to move to the cutting-edge prophetic ministry, the future concerns, the second wave, so to speak. So thank you for joining us again, John.
Thank you for having me, and greetings to you on this day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I almost forgot. Whoa! Okay, John, are you ready for today's assignment?
Yes, by God.
Okay, the theme is so tied to our Savior's love for us, and it is especially appropriate now as we celebrate His love for His church this Valentine's Day. His protective, loving care is expressed in, you know, ways we don't always discern, and it's truly expressed in this topic we're going to touch on today. So are you ready to introduce the second wave, end time things, events that will be coming to pass shortly?
Yes, I am, Leslie, again, by God's kind grace. But before we begin considering the second wave of end time issues, could we do what Daniel did long ago? It's most appropriate to acknowledge the one who has graced us with his precious counsel as to end time insight, which is second to none. Leslie, could you offer a prayer of praise to the Lord God for his loving, protective, and most accurate forewarnings to us?
I would be honored. So folks, Heavenly Father, your love is so evident in the fact that you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have a right relationship with you. And we praise you for your love and continued watch over us, even singing and rejoicing over us, as Zephaniah 3:17 says. We thank you. We thank you for the precious gift of revelation of your word, that we might be prepared to be your living end-time saints in the days just prior to your Son's initial appearing. Be with our listeners, giving them ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive your revelation, and then choose to live it out, to live their lives for your kingdom and your glory. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear saint in Christ Jesus, who is our sure and eternal hope indeed. Amen. Okay, well, last week, we touched upon first wave end time things, which continue to unfold today. Things which the Word predicted almost 2,000 years ago, and in the cases of the Old Testament prophecies, even longer. So what does the Word say regarding the days which follow the initial first wave of prophetic signs tied to His soon return? Leslie, here's yet another pop quiz. According to our Lord's counsel in Matthew 24, what follows the birth pains?
Okay, might as well
keep your Bible closed.
Might as well start the day off with a pop quiz. Okay, in keeping with the emphasis of our truth foundations, let me read what our Lord says.
Okay, you can open your word.
Okay, remember, John, His word is where we go first.
Okay.
Not man's word, but God's word. So let's read directly from it. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 22. And I'm going to be using the New King James Version today. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Boy, do we need that hope. Okay, verse 13 again. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
Wow. Powerful. So, tribulation and great tribulation unfold. Some of the details of the tribulation are graciously given in verses 9 through 14, while the event which unleashes the great tribulation and details about this great tribulation itself are also described in verses 15 through 22.
So I'm right. It's the great tribulation will clearly follow the initial tribulation period.
Yes, or one could say the great tribulation is included in the overall tribulation period.
Okay.
Both would be accurate. Well, this period of tribulation will also serve to clearly identify the Antichrist, because it's the little horn of Daniel 7 which especially drives the period of time which the Bible calls the war against the saints. And you can see this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 and 25. Revelation 13:7 also describes this period. And this is a New Testament book. So again, we have God's prophetic, awesome fingerprint on his instruction, because he knows the future. Old Testament in Daniel 7, New Testament, Revelation 13. Well, this is a terrible time of uprising against God's old covenant people and his new covenant people in his son, Jesus Christ. This verse, verse 7, says, it was granted to him to make war, and this is the beast, granted
yep.
to the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But John, some say we are raptured before this time. How do you respond?
Well, yes, Leslie, some say this, but the Word does not teach this. In fact, it says just the opposite. And we've already touched upon this issue of the timing of the rapture in other programs, so I'll not revisit this important topic. But I would like to continue on this track of bullet listing aspects of the second wave, because it's more than just tribulation and great tribulation that we're talking about.
So let me interrupt just a second. In addition, folks, to past radio recordings on this topic here on Heart of the Savior, you've also posted web material about this concern at your websites, www.currentmatters.com and www.endmin.com.
Yes, we have. So folks can go there and other places on the web for this information about God's saints in Christ being gathered before God's wrath, before the bowls of wrath are poured upon the earth. Okay, so in addition to the period of time the Bible calls the tribulation and the great tribulation, we also have worsening global conditions taking place even before the time of the great tribulation. For example, seal number 2 in Revelation chapter 6, which some actually believe is taking place today, due to all the Muslim activity of late, activity which is taking peace from the earth. This second seal may be unfolding as we speak. Well, Leslie, seal number 3 is yet another concern which we need to add to our bullet list. Do you know what's emphasized in this third seal?
It's most likely a huge, and I mean really huge, we're talking global famine.
A famine that's distinct from the famines of the birth pain famine.
Right.
Yes, it's a huge famine, exactly. But how many sincere followers of Jesus Christ have obeyed our Lord Jesus in the regard of preparing for such famine?
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay. Is this a quiz? Is this a test?
Oh, no.
Okay.
But in assumption, uh-huh. in your question about famine, okay. my question is, does Jesus ever address food shortages?
That's a fair question, and I appreciate you bringing it, because let's go to the Word, Matthew 24.
All right.
And we find, actually, in verses 45 through 47, this, quote, Jesus is speaking, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. So in answer to your question, Leslie, yes, he does, indirectly, but his counsel is clear. But many Christians, for faulty reasons, are choosing not to prepare in this regard, as the Lord has so outlined. This is tragic, Leslie, so let me turn to the radio listeners and say, if you haven't begun preparing for food shortages, you need to do so now. This period of time is coming soon. But there's another reason to prepare provisionally. The famine of seal number 3 is followed by seal number 4. One event tied to this seal includes death by starvation. You can read it for yourselves in Revelation 6. And Leslie, there's yet another round of food shortage coming after these two seals. Let me explain. It especially strikes God's faithful people in Jesus Christ due to our unwillingness to receive the mark. You know, the mark of the beast of Revelation 13?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we need to recall that there will not be one genuine Christian who will take this mark. For Scripture says, quote, anyone who takes the mark is destined for the lake of fire. But what, practically speaking, does all this mean? Well, in part, it means we need to prepare for multiple rounds of times when food is, for the most part, unavailable to us. You see, Leslie, Scripture teaches these things. It foretells of famine and continued famine, which are predicted in the third and fourth seals of Revelation 6. The word predicts the period of the mark of the beast, where those who do not have the global mark will not be able to buy and sell.
Oh, okay, John. Just to clarify for myself and the audience, okay. Here's what I'm hearing you say this far by way of what you're calling the second wave events.
Okay.
Tribulation and Great Tribulation follow what you're calling the first wave of birth pains or time of sorrows, which are described in Matthew 24, 4-8, which we read. And great persecution and deception compromise some of the qualities of this early second wave period. Okay. Famine and death also thrive during this second wave period as predicted in Revelation 6. So is that it? Did I get it right as to the things which take place during this time?
Well, yes and no. Yes, these are a part of the things that follow the time of sorrows or the birth pains or those things that are talked about in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, etc. But in another sense, no, Leslie, there's actually more. But could we focus on addressing the question, how shall we now live during this time of worsening global conditions, food shortages, tribulation, and persecution?
Great. I'm going to pull one of yours.
Let's
do the both and thing, okay? Let's both add a couple more second wave events to our bullet list.
Okay.
And let's touch upon practical advice, you know, as to how to live in these days, okay? And I believe both are important to our listeners.
I think so. Well taken. So yes, let's do this. But you know what? There are some pretty important issues here. So can we have additional programs so as to continue to help our listening audience with all that is coming? Once these things begin to start happening, it's going to make one head spin. It will be a challenge to discern it all. Though with our great God, even these things are possible. He is so good. Well, we'll so say this. Can we, Lord willing, bring, say, monthly sessions through 2016 on this topic of second wave end time things, perhaps on the second Saturday of each month? This way we can bring pertinent help to those who don't want to be deceived and who wish to be in a better state of readiness during this time. From now until 2020, when then, at that time, we'll need to reassess as to where we are at the end time calendar. Can we bring monthly sessions, Leslie?
Boy, I thought you'd never ask. Wow, woohoo! That sounds like a wonderful idea and a good way, a really good way to continue bringing the heart of the Savior's counsel to our listening audience regarding living in these days just prior to Christ's initial appearing. You know, John, as I said last week, I used to be scared to death to read the book of Revelation as I wanted to stick my head in the sand and hope it would go away. But realize now that I would rather have the revelation of God so that I can be prepared. And that's what I want for all of God's children. But let's finish up with today's topic. Let's add a couple more concerns to our general list of things which will be unfolding soon.
You caught me. You kept me from going in a different direction. Okay.
Okay.
I sit exposed. Anyway.
Exposed.
Well, in addition to global unrest, due in part to the pervading anti-God commitment and action, in addition to famine and death, in addition to what Scripture also forewarns, that's tribulation, persecution, and great tribulation against faithful followers of Jesus Christ, which again, Leslie, one can read about in Daniel, Matthew 24, 25, Mark 13, and Revelation. In addition to these three things concerned, Scripture does indeed mention other things which unfold during this period. So in answer to your question, yeah, there are a couple other things. Let me touch upon two here. Additional aspects of this second wave period include huge increase in unrighteousness, which is actually starting to take place today. And we also find Scripture teaching that the loss of love by many will occur. Our Lord himself even addresses this in Matthew 24, Luke 17, and Luke 21. Another round of deception and false teaching also flourished during this second wave era. Well, there are additional second wave things, yes, but because our time is just about up, let me introduce a portion of God's counsel as to how we should now live. So I've answered your first question as to, well, give us a couple more things, but then let's get into some practical advice as to how shall we, knowing these things, then respond.
Please and thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your accountability. I have found that I've learned so much from students over the years, so I always welcome that. I'm blessed by, well, we mentioned it in our session last week, iron sharpening iron.
Iron sharpening iron.
Well, let me go to our truth foundation, our source. Luke 17 says, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Now, there are many aspects of application of this passage, but I want to make one comment here as we look to this second wave stuff, where this tribulation and great tribulation period is unfolding, we're finding that there are things imposed upon the Christian community that if people say yes to, their eternal state is sealed. So in application of this Luke 17 passage, those who, well, I want to save my life, so I'll, for example, I'll take the mark of the beast. Well, wait a minute, in so doing,
you lose your life.
Yes, you lose your life. But whoever loses his life will preserve it. So please, folks, you and I included, Leslie, let's have this perspective that the Lord Jesus counsels himself concerning these more difficult times where the decisions are consequential of an eternal duration. That's huge. Well, Luke 21, let me read this aspect of this end time passage. Quote, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. So this is very tied to the Matthew 24, verses 9 through 10, when there's betrayal and difficulty, offense that comes as a result. Mark 13 is another passage, quote, beginning with verse 32. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when this time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commended the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And here again, after telling the parable of the 10 virgins, our Lord concludes by saying, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So due to forewarned signs, which he has graciously given to those of us who are still listening, we do know the general time of his coming, though yes, no one knows the day or the hour of his return. So let me quote one last quote, which also, in a very special way, Leslie, communicates the precious commitment of Heart of the Savior Ministries. And it's taken from Revelation. I think the very verse that you quoted at the beginning of the session last week.
Ah.
22, verse 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life.
Oh, that was lovely. Lovely. You know, John, that passage is so special to me. It's truly the gospel message to anyone who's thirsty. And Jesus Christ is the living water. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks, now is the time. You know, He's waiting to help quench your parched throats from the dirt and grime of this world and give you everlasting life. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, take a drink from the stream of life, Jesus Christ. And if you confess your sins, asking the Father for forgiveness and acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, your Lord and Savior, who died and rose again for your sins, He says, come, welcome home, my child.
Precious.
Don't you love it, John?
God is good.
Brings tears to my eyes. I'm sorry. You know?
He's not only Creator and Sustainer, He's Savior.
He's Savior. Deep sigh there. This has been a pretty heavy program, John, but one that you and I both agree is extremely important. And I thank you for offering to come throughout 2016 and to help us address and understand better how we can be these living end time saints. Because as you said, it's going to come so fast and furious, our heads are going to spin. So folks, John will be joining us regularly for the year of 2016 on the second Saturday of each month to help us be these living end time saints of God's church. Well, before we close, I mentioned it last week, so I'm going to go a little bit further. I want to let you know that Heart of the Savior Ministries is already working on our community outreach for Christmas 2016, believe it, by partnering with Canby Foursquare Church and collecting items for Operation Christmas Child. And this ministry is a part of the Franklin Graham Samaritan Purse Ministry. So we will be collecting items throughout 2016 that will be packed into shoe boxes and distributed across the globe to children. And you can go to our website at www.heartofthesaviorministries.org and click on the link to print a list of the needed items. And they're by age level, so 2 to 4, 6 to 8, you know. And we will take cash donations, and we actually will do the shopping for you because we do like to do that. And just to be sure, you need to put Operation Christmas Child on the subject line of your check so that all those funds are held for that specific outreach ministry. Our goal, John, is to be able to help fulfill Canby Foursquare's goal of filling 500 boxes this coming year. And Heart of the Savior has committed to filling 50 to 100 of those ourselves. So we're asking everyone who listens in and partners with us to help us reach that goal by supplying those needs.
And I would challenge the listening audience to contact Leslie about this. This is an opportunity to express your faith in action. So with,
thank you.
With love being our motive, let's get on board with this Christ-honoring, a Bible-affirming opportunity.
Well, and, the gospel message goes to all children who receive that and an offer for them to be a part of a Bible study wherever they are.
Oh, sweet.
So it's a wonderful program.
So it's the gospel, but it's discipleship aspect of the gospel as well.
It is.
Very good.
It is. Well, folks, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's work, the word, the every breath that you take this week. Don't be afraid to read the book of Revelation. As always in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.